Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Imke, your host. This is episode 5 of season 2. In my experience, there are certain places that have a special aura, a powerful presence. Maybe a small stream with a few delightful riffle sequences, or a forest coming to life on an early spring morning, or a warm barn full of animals on a cold winter day, with the sound of the sheep and cattle contentedly munching on hay and chewing on cuds. That's the background soundtrack for today's show.
Sheep are very expressive. They want to be petted. They want to be hands-on. Yeah. They're very curious, at least this breed anyway. I'm seeing a big trend in more people wanting to try new things and wanting to know where their food comes from. And there has been a huge disconnect between what we eat and where it comes from.
The mink industry is much more regulated than the food industry.
Talk to the farmers. They're more than willing to answer your questions on how it's fed and how it's raised, and they don't mind explaining the whole process.
Today, come with me as we head down an icy road in midwinter in rural Cormac. Well, truth be told, all of Cormac is rural. That's the point. It's still pre-pandemic times. The snow is sparkling. We're a bit beyond where Google Maps work, so I'm advised to make a few wrong turns. But as the young folks say, no worries. We arrive at D&D Farm. It was originally a mink operation, but they got out of mink when the price collapsed a number of years back. They did lots of research and work, and now it's a sheep farm, and more recently, with some beef cattle as well. Join us in the spacious and sunny barn.
I'm Crystal Parsons, and we're at D&D Farm, and we've got about 300 breeding females at this point, and we're into our fourth year of sheep farming.
What breed are they?
They're Rideau Arcots, and they were developed in the agricultural center in Ottawa.
What's the advantage of them over some of the other breeds?
So we decided to go with the Rideaus because they're highly prolific, and they can have multiple lambs. They have more threes than they have ones.
Yes, is that right?
Absolutely. Yep. Last year we had two females that had 6 lambs each, so they're very productive.
And so that's a lot of bottle feeding for you.
This year we got automatic feeder.
Oh,
so
good. Okay,
that saves a lot of time. And they just take to that naturally.
Really?
They raise themselves, absolutely. Yeah. So once they're on it, they're good to go. And they can breed at a season. So that's our biggest advantage with those guys.
So those are two big things. For people who don't know sheep very much, historically they tended to have one or maybe two, you know, a lot of the older breeds.
Yes. Two was probably a big litter.
You were happy. You had a party then.
That's absolutely.
Right. Yeah. What's the average for, you know, if you had 100 ewes, Rideau Arcot, would you have 20 lambs probably from them or something?
Out of the 77 females that we had, our older girls, we had 250 lambs.
Really? So that's more than three per
average. Yeah, they did really well.
Yeah.
The younger females, of course, they tend to have singles or doubles until they reach that maturity level, right?
Are they good nurturers, good mothers, as we used to say?
Absolutely. They have a very good milk content, so they can raise the lambs. We don't allow them to raise all of the lambs. If they have multiples, we'll pull a couple and raise them artificially, but they can raise 3 or 4 on their own, no trouble.
The other thing was that they can breed out of season. So are you starting to work on that?
Yeah, so this year we'll be doing some out of season breeding as well. So we've got 3 lambings planned for the spring, one in April, one in June, and probably one in July and August. And then after that, they're going to be started again. So they're pregnant for 5 months and then they raise their lambs for 2 and we'll give them a month break, and then they're ready to start all over again. So every 8 months, they should be having a group of lambs.
Yeah. We talked a bit earlier about predators. We're here in Cormac. Do you have a few predators around?
Coyotes are a big one at this point now. We certainly can't put them out on a community pasture.
Yeah.
So we tend to keep these girls confined. But with the style of barn that we have, the sides can come down. It's nice and bright.
Yeah.
It's as close to outside as they can get. They do get outside in the summertime, but for the most part, they are confined.
Yeah. What led you to sheep? Have you always had sheep, grown up with sheep, loved sheep? I don't know.
We just decided that we wanted to get into something. We were making some hay, and we didn't have any really use for it, so we decided to get into something that could start eating the hay. And there wasn't a whole lot of sheep in Newfoundland at the time. It is starting to build up a little bit more again.
Yeah.
So we took a leap in that direction.
Yeah. And you must have done your research because you chose a breed that would work for you. Did you always have Rideau Arcot?
Yeah, that's what we started it with. We traveled to Nova Scotia first and had a look at some of the different style of burns that they were using, as our climates are very similar, and kind of decided what we'd like to go with, what would work for here. And then we traveled to Ontario and went to some farms up there and met a farmer. That's where we purchased our sheep. And, you know, he was very much a mentor for us getting into it and the style of sheep farming as well, which is a little bit different.
Yeah. So this barn was purpose-built for the sheep.
It was,
obviously.
Yeah.
So you've got long rows and lots of space here for the mangers or whatever that they used to call them, places for the sheep to eat. And then when they're lambing, you confine them into another area probably?
Nope, so we do an open-style lambing.
Open-style lambing, okay.
So all the females in the breeding group will go together, and then they'll pick their spot and they'll lamb.
Yeah.
And then after they have their lambs and they're all cleaned up, we'll take them and put them into what we call a lambing jug. And they'll spend 24, 48 hours, depending on how many lambs they have, for that bonding, make sure they get their colostrum. And then they'll be let back out into a group to raise their lambs.
Yeah.
No, they're really good moms, and they tend to pick up the mothering aspect really quick, especially if they've lambed before. They might need a little bit of help along the way, but for the most part, they do all the work themselves.
Yeah. One of the tedious parts of sheep farming, in my opinion, is shearing. You got any secrets about that? Did you shear these all yourself?
We do shear them all ourselves.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's tough. And they don't look very pretty when they're done.
No, they're not going to any contest, don't worry.
No.
Is that something you sort of picked up? I mean, it's just practice?
YouTube.
You know, YouTube.
Honest. YouTube.
You just watch with your phone there in one hand and the shears in the other.
Pretty much, yeah. You'd go up and watch the video and you come down and you try it again. And yeah, it's that's been a bit of a challenge. And I guess being in Newfoundland, you don't have access to those things, right? If you're in Ontario, you can get somebody to come in for almost everything.
Yeah.
Down here, you get to be a jack of all trades. And that's a challenge.
How long does it take you?
I'm not very fast. I'd say it probably takes me 10 minutes a sheep or maybe a little bit longer.
Some people would say, that's amazing. Now, they're not large sheep.
No.
But still.
But they're a handful. If they've been sheared before, they're a little bit more relaxed. If it's the first time, they're a little bit nervous, different sounds, so they can give you a run for your money, right?
But what time of year do you shear in?
So we do it all in the spring. So before lambing, every one of them will have to be crutched. And that's just taking the wool off of, you know, key area. Yeah. And then a couple of weeks later, they'll all have to get, you know, redone.
What happens to the wool?
Unfortunately, there's not much that we can do with it at this point. And
I was hoping you'd say something different than
I know. We have saved some for, like, a few local people that wanted to try it, but there's just no price into it. You ship it away and your money out, right? We had thought there was a mill going to be opening up out towards the Avalon, a fiber mill, but I haven't heard anything about it lately. I was pretty, you know, pretty excited about that. It's a wonderful resource. Although Rideau's aren't like a high quality wool, but I mean, it is the natural resource that's really going to waste. At this point, there's very little that we can do with it.
How many years does it take from when you first decide to begin getting to sheep and actually have a barn full of sheep?
For us, it took a while. We're very much into researching before we take that leap. So it took a few years. We got our fields all established long before we took the leap and got the animals.
Yeah.
And like I said, doing some extra research and training and making sure that you knew the animal before you really jumped into it was big for us, and hoping that it would be a good fit for this area and making sure that we had the right breed as well, right?
Yeah. Are there some suggestions you'd have for increasing the number of people going into farming?
Some advice for somebody going into farming. Having determination and grit.
Determination and grit,
would be a big one. You know, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a job. You've got to have that passion for agriculture and for what you want to do, and it's going to take you a long time to get there. It's not going to happen overnight. So definitely determination and grit for sure.
It's an occupation, as you say, but it's really a lifestyle too. It's a calling in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, your animals have to come first. So there's lots of times that you sacrifice the things that you want to do for those animals. So you've got to be well aware that it's a huge time commitment that you're making too.
I guess you're not up on your Netflix viewing, really.
No.
I asked about what music to use. They didn't really suggest anything in particular, though we agreed that maybe I should play a sheep shearing song. This one's from Australia. Sing along on the chorus. It goes, "Here we are in New South Wales, shearing sheep as big as whales, with leather necks and daggy tails, and fleece as tough as rusty nails.
When shearing comes, lay down your drums, step to the boards, your brand new chums, a rod and roo and a rub-a-dub-dub, I'll send you home in a lime juice tub. Since you have crossed the briny deep, you fancy you can share a sheep with a rod and roo and a rub-a-dub-dub. Send you home in a lime juice tub.
Send you home in a lime juice tub.
And here we are in New South Wales, shearing sheep as big as wild, with leather necks and daggy tails, fleece as tough as rusty nails. There's Pocky's sons and brand new chums, fancy that they're on great guns, fancy they can shear the wool. The buggers can only tear and pull.
Buggers can only tear and pull.
They tie the sheep, they're nearly black. Roll up and get the sack. Once more we're away on the wallaby track. More to look for work out back.
More to look for work out back.
And here we are in New South Wales, shearing sheep as big as whales, with leather necks and daggy tails, face as tough as rusty nails. And when they're out upon the road, from off their backs they throw their load, and at the sun they take a look, and reckon that it's time to caress the cob.
Reckon it's time to caress the cob.
They sleep in huts without any door, and camp upon the dirty floor with a panic and a flower and a sheep upon. Wallop up a damper in the dark.
Wallop up a damper in the dark.
And here we are in New South Wales, shearing sheep as big as whales, with leather necks and daggy tails, fleece as tough as rusty nails.
You cockies do, you never need fret, for I'm the man who's well into bed. You're up to your eyes, you'll first in debt. You're up to your eyes, your sons as well, your daughters wear no crinolines. Now are they covered by boots and shoes? They're wild in the bush with the kangaroos.
Wild in the bush with the kangaroos.
And here we are in New South Wales, shearing sheep as big as wild, with leather necks and daggy tails, fleece as tough as rusty nails.
That's the Bushwhackers Band from Australia with a shearing song called The Lime Juice Tub. We head back into the sheep barn with Crystal Parsons. By the way, her dad, Doug, gets off the tractor and joins us in this segment.
These are all obviously for meat as well. Who do you sell to?
Right now, we're doing all a local market. It's all been by word of mouth and very little social media. And I've got to say, it's been a wonderful response from local consumers. And up until now, there's been a wait list from year to year. So after this year, I'm hoping that we're going to have an abundance of lamb and it'll be available year round. We also want to do it so that it's affordable to everybody. We don't want to overprice and then only be going to a select group. So that's something that we want to do. And with the new abattoir, you know, we can do select cuts now, which we couldn't do before. So people can come in and just buy their lamb chops, or they can buy their roast, which makes it nice as well.
And people come to the farm here and buy it? You are open certain hours, or do you sell it at stores?
We sell it all through the abattoir at this point.
Okay.
So we've got a freezer space there, and people can come by during the week and pick up whatever they like.
So how many sheep do you have at the moment?
So we've got about 310 females at this point. 150 of them are 2 years plus, so they're going to be our prime breeders. And then another 150 are yearlings, so they're going to be their first-time lambers this year.
Are they pretty good? Like some breeds are a bit better than others. Some seem to take more help or use more help or whatever. How do you find that?
If these are in really good body conditions, so they're not overly fat, then they tend to do all the work themselves. They're naturally narrow on the front and kind of long in the hind end. So they, for the birthing process, they're a really good animal, right? But when you get into multiples and you've got a lot of legs and a lot of heads in there, sometimes they tend to get tangled, it is a very time-consuming process. During lambing, we're down here every 2 hours.
Every two hours,
morning, day, night, for those full 3 to 4 weeks. And sometimes those 2 hours turn into all night long because they tend to like the lamb during the night.
That's odd, that, isn't it? You know, when it's the least convenient for the humans.
Absolutely. They don't. I guess whenever it happens, it happens. So
they sense it. When people buy your lamb, like, are they people who have always eaten lamb, or are they interested in the fact that it's local, or, you know, what's kind of the motivation sometimes?
We get a lot of people that have had it growing up, and you know, they want a local supply. They'd much rather purchase local than, say, go to the grocery store and get New Zealand lamb. Mm-hmm. So we do get that aspect. We also have a new market that's people who haven't tried it but would like to try local meat. And now that we can do the select cuts, they'll come in and try one piece rather than, you know, having to buy that
lamb or whatever.
Exactly. So I'm seeing a big trend in more people wanting to try new things and wanting to know where their food comes from. And there has been a huge disconnect between what we eat and where it comes from. So I'm glad to see that shift in mindset as well.
Yeah, obviously they're trying to grow agriculture here in this province. Are there some other things we can do around consumers, the awareness, education, 4-H?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the big things with consumers is they have to ask the questions themselves as well, right? Yeah. You know, being informed about where your food comes from. Talk to the farmers.
Yeah.
They're more than willing to answer your questions on how it's fed and how it's raised. And most farmers are there to do a wonderful job, and they don't mind explaining the whole process. And I think just getting connected back to where our food is coming from is a big thing.
Yeah. Do you work with the Green Thumbs program or the agriculture in the classroom?
I've done a few where I've gone to the schools and participated in some of the talks there, but we usually do a few farm tours as well.
Okay.
So the school kids come out usually during lambing. Last year they got to see a lamb being born, actually.
Nice.
So that was quite the experience for them. But
that would be their first time to see another, like a mammal being born, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the excitement on their faces was, you know, absolutely amazing. And sheep are very, I don't know how you would put it, expressive, I suppose.
Okay.
You know, they want to be petted. They want to be hands-on.
Yeah.
They're very curious, at least this breed anyway. They're they're not nervous at all. So, you know, some other animals, if they're having young, you couldn't really have that interaction.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, we had probably 40 grade threes running through the barn while this sheep was giving birth, and she didn't mind that whatsoever. Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to see kids interact with the animals and they develop compassion and empathy and, you know, that whole other set of skills.
I bet they had some questions.
Absolutely. I'd say absolutely.
Yeah. We talked about the abattoir. Why did you decide to add that to your mix here?
In order to sell the product, it has to be processed at a provincially licensed facility. And, of course, when the fall rolls around, you're competing with the moose meat.
Yeah.
And typically that's when everybody's looking to get their animals processed is the fall as well. And we were running into the same issue that got to travel two and a half hours away to get your animals processed. So it was something that we had in the back of our mind when we got into it, but I guess we had to get there a little bit faster than anticipated. It was always in the back of our mind to have, you know, from the farm to the table, that whole process, that you know exactly where it's coming from when somebody comes to that building, they realize that it's from birth to the table. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the biggest motivator, is you just couldn't get your product done. So we focused more on the farming side of things with that building, and our farmers come first. And so we're catering more to the farming community than.
So it's used by other farmers come in and you do sort of custom cutting. Do you have a background in that? Do some of you have a background in that? Or is that another Google search?
No. This time I didn't have to go back to Google.
Yeah.
But there was a program through the government that the meat cutter came in, Ray Walker, and he trained the staff over there from the time we opened in July. He was with us for several months and got us on track, and now they're capable of doing it on their own. So
I looked at a list. I think it was your list. There's something about some French cuts of some sort. What are those? I was trying to figure that out.
So when they're considered French, so if you have your leg of lamb, the shank portion would be deboned, so the bone is stuck out, and that's considered French. So if you have your rack, same thing, the bones would all be Frenched out.
Kind of the aesthetic appeal of it, I guess. It makes it look nice and presentable if you're having a function that you're trying to impress someone or whatever.
Right. What do people want to get these days, or it's just a little bit of everything or whatever?
Our best seller is the lamb by far. I mean, everybody is really supportive of the lamb, but as for a particular cut, I don't think there's anything that stands out. Everything is selling at this point. So.
Yeah. So can you do white meat here too, like chicken, or is it just red meat?
Just red meat at this point.
Probably going to be doing some.
You will. Yeah. Okay.
I think
it's just a small step to get there.
And you don't do any wild, like moose or anything, or can you do that?
You can still do it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, our priority is to the farmers.
Yeah.
You know, if there's cooler space and can help somebody out, that's fine as well.
Yeah.
But
our
farmers come first, and we won't be turning anybody away. Yeah.
Well, come gather all around me, and I'll sing to you a tale about the boys in Carmanville who almost went to jail. It happened on a November's night when all hands was asleep. We crept up over Joe Cuxel and stole and murdered the sheep. Now if you pay attention, I know I'll make you laugh. We never went to steal the sheep, we went to steal the calf. The old cow, she got angry cause we woke her from her sleep. We couldn't take any chances, so we had to steal the sheep.
We caught the woolly animal and dragged her from her pen. She said goodbye to the little lamb she'd never see again. She knew that those there strangers soon would take her life. In less than half an hour, well, she felt a dreadful knife. Well, Aunt Martha, she got angry when she heard about the loss. She said she'd catch the robbers no matter what the cost. Next morning, just at sunrise, she to the office went, and to the RCMP a telegram she sent. Well, the mountie got the message and he started in to read. This is from Aunt Martha telling an awful deed. Last night my sheep was stolen, by whom I cannot tell. I'd like for you to catch them and to drag them back to jail. It was just a short time later, about 12 o'clock that night. We had the sheep a-cooking and everyone feeling tight. The smell of mutton and onions, no man could ask for more. We chugged a lug of dominion when the manny walked in the door. He said, sorry boys, your party, I really don't want to wreck. I smelled the meat a-cooking and I had to come in and check. You see, a sheep was stolen and a thief is on the loose. I said, comrade, enjoy me, sir, we're having a feed of moose. Well, he came right in and he sat right down. We gave him a piece of the sheep. This is the finest piece of moose I know I ever eat. About 2 o'clock in the morning, he bid us all good day. If we get any clues in the sheep, sir, well, we'll phone you right away. He said, thanks a lot, you're a fine darn bunch, your promise I know you'll keep. If everyone was as good as you, she wouldn't have lost her sheep. After we left, we had the piece we had in the oven to roast. We might have stole the sheep, boys, but the mountie ate the most.
That was Shanaganok with the classic Aunt Martha's Sheep, one of Newfoundland Labrador's most famous songs about sheep, originally written by Dick Nolan. We head back to the sheep barn one more time with Crystal and Doug Parsons.
This hay that they're eating, this is from your fields around here?
Yes.
So you have enough fields to have enough hay for your...
With the way that we're raising the animals, where they're housed inside for most of the time,
yep,
we go through a lot more hay than you would typically use because, of course, you'd be grazing. Land-based-wise, it's probably the same thing, but we make a lot more hay than what a typical farmer with sheep would do. So with this number of sheep that we have here, if you had them out on pasture in summertime, you would need approximately, I'm going to say, an acre to an acre and a half per day to feed
graze
them without grazing everything down too far. For the same thing with hay production, we need an acre to an acre and a half per day to sustain us as well. And with this particular breed, where they're really prolific, we supplement them with grain as well.
What's a grain? You have corn and
They have a whole corn and a protein pellet. And as these guys get further into their pregnancy, they can't get enough energy out of the hay alone. So they need to be supplemented with a grain to make sure that they have enough energy to grow those lambs and to make sure that they stay healthy as well. They just can't make it on hay alone, this particular breed, right?
Yeah.
So we do have to supplement. Yeah.
What you have to do, you kind of have to balance a ration for them. And that's kind of lacking in farming community around here outside of the dairy.
Yeah.
Most people aren't too aware or too concerned about providing a balanced ration for their animals. With this particular breed, if you don't do that, you won't be very successful.
Yeah. So you were able to learn that from other Rideau Arcot breeders?
Yes, plus our experience with the animals that we had before with the milk farm.
Yeah.
We were mixing the feed for those, so it was just a small jump just realizing what the energy requirements and protein requirements of these animals were for the different growth phases that that they were going through. So it was, for us, it was a small step, but I could certainly see where some farmers out there would really have a major issue with trying to do something with that.
How much land do you need to grow the hay for this flock?
Right now, counting the new field that'll be in production this summer, we've got about 75 acres that'll be in forage, but that's not going to be enough.
Yeah. I'm going to say we probably need another 30, 40 acres
of forage.
What these guys will be capable of producing.
Yeah, which isn't a huge amount. Apparently, we've got thousands of acres available.
That's a different story. Some of that's not very accessible and whatever.
Is this breed, could you use them for milk by any chance? For sheep cheese? You could.
Absolutely.
Okay, is that part of the plan someday?
You never know. The guy that we got these from out of Ontario, he does milk his a little bit and
makes
some product out of him, some yogurt. And apparently it's really, really a good milk for yogurt. It's a really thick, heavy milk.
I don't know if in Newfoundland Labrador there's a market for sheep cheese or not.
Yeah, I'd be doubtful if there's much of a market there as well. Yeah. You know, Newfoundlanders are sort of traditional and reluctant to try many new things either.
Right. Meat and potatoes.
Fish. And lamb, maybe?
Yeah, there's... I've been a little bit surprised, actually, that the lamb has went over as well as it has. It's been pretty good up to this point, so...
What's your favourite way to cook lamb, roast lamb or whatever? Do you have a favourite?
I think probably flank with dressing.
Rolled flank with dressing.
Yeah, that's
pretty tasty.
I like that.
What would it take to get lamb in restaurants? Like, not just high-end, you know, fancy restaurants in St. John's, but more widespread, you know, a lamb soup or whatever, lamb chops. Do you think that would ever go over here?
I think it will.
Yeah, me too.
As a matter of fact, we're working on a couple places there now, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Madison's, they have our lamb. It would possibly be going into Deer Lake Motel. Some of the issue that has been here, I guess, traditionally, is that there hasn't been a constant supply. And I guess when we started this very early, we realized it's pretty hard to market something unless you have something to market. So at this point, we're getting there. Next year, I think we'll be to the point that there won't be a time of the year that we won't have it available.
Yeah.
And at that time, I think we'll start trying to push it harder.
That is a big issue, especially in Newfoundland, is marketing the products, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, right now, ours has just been word of mouth and a little bit on social media. But after you reach a certain point, you do need a little bit more beside that.
But that takes patience and time to get people to learn to eat something different. Because people think of mutton or whatever, you know, instead.
And that's the issue that we've ran into as well, namely with beef, but with the lamb as well. People have tried some product, local product, and they went away with a really bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
Probably ended up with some old ram that wasn't fit to eat and being passed off as lamb or whatever.
Lamb.
Well, not everything is created equally.
No, sometimes it's a bit stringy, isn't it, occasionally?
Yes. Some of the animals aren't being finished like they should to create a product.
Do you need to finish a sheep before it goes to the abattoir?
To some extent. It's more with the sheep. If you got them on that energy diet that they need and the protein diet that they need, when they reach the attainable weight that you're looking for, you go by your carcass development for the particular breed. With this particular breed there, we've kind of found that, you know, we need a carcass to dress out somewhere around 45 pounds. Gives us a really nice carcass. If we let it go much beyond that, you tend to get a little bit too fat if you go a little bit. So it's knowing your animals and the breed that you have as well.
Are there advantages to having a sheep farm in Newfoundland?
One of the big advantages are our provincial vets. Okay. It's a huge asset to farmers in Newfoundland, and I don't know if we quite realize how big of an advantage it is, but that's huge when you're looking at, you know, other provinces having to deal with private vets and the cost associated with that. We've got a wonderful staff.
We've been dealing with the vets ever since we got into farming, started off with the mink. And believe it or not, the mink industry is much more regulated than the food industry. Absolutely. They're light years ahead.
Yeah. Was that here in this land?
Yes.
The mink farm?
Yeah, it was. What happened with the mink industry is that there was just an overproduction. But it was a nice industry in that, as far as agriculture went, you were cleaning up a lot of the waste from other industries.
Right.
The fish offal, the spent layers, when they take out those layers, now they really don't have any place for them. And then you take the manure from the animals and you put it on the fields. And I tell you, you could not get a better crop of hay.
What's your favorite local food? You don't have to say lamb.
Got to be the Jig's dinner.
There's no chance of doing salt lamb. Is there smoked lamb to replace the beef?
Smoked lamb is possible.
Okay.
Yeah. We are experimenting there now with some salt beef and some salt pork.
Yep.
So that's probably something that's going to be coming on stream in the future.
Thanks very much.
We leave the sheep to their cuds and head out into the cold. It's just the sort of weather where you could use a good thick sweater of local wool, if only you could find one. But that's another show for another time.
It was always in the back of my mind to have, you know, from the farm to the table, that whole process that you know exactly where it's coming from. We also want to do it so that it's affordable to everybody. We don't want to overprice and then only be going to a select group. During lambing, we're down here every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, morning, day, night, for those full 3 to 4 weeks. Some advice
advice for somebody going into farming?
Having determination and grit.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were The Lime Juice Tub by the Bushwhackers Band and Aunt Martha's Sheep by Shanny Gannock. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was performed this week by Kirk Sutphin. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. I'll be right here. Happy trails.
Talk to the farmers.
Thank you.